go to the Word here for a minute. The Word says that Jesus stood up and preached. The power of God does a lot of things for us. The power of God shows up in very many different ways. Jesus didn't always do things in the synagogue the way they wanted him to. He would pull up a woman in the middle of his preaching and pray for her and cast the devil and tell her that she's loose from her infirmity. And they got mad at him. He did things lots of different ways. He changed things up. And they were always mad at him for changing things up. But let me just say this. There are things that God wants to do in your heart during not just the preaching, but during the praise and worship time. He is wanting you, brother, and you, sister, to draw a line around yourself and say, Jesus, I'm going to take advantage of this 15 minutes, this 20 minutes, this 10 minutes, whatever it's going to be. I'm going to take advantage of this. This is my time to be Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, not Lisa magnifies the Lord by herself. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us all exalt his name together. When we come in here in one accord, in one place, and say, Jesus, I am going to magnify you in the midst of my problems, in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of my life, I am going to exalt your name with the band, you have no idea what's about to explode and happen in this church. Amen? So let's talk about some things for a minute here that make us a little uncomfortable. But before I talk about that, that's what I'm talking about today, that the most important part of your day, any day, we just capitalize on it together as a corporate group. But the most important part of your day, any day, is praising and worshiping him, the time you spend in the Word, and the time you pray in the Holy Ghost. That is the most important part of your day. That is the most productive part of your day. So Jesus said that I want to fill you with power. I want to clothe you with power. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells in you. Well, what does that look like? The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is not just coming upon you like he came upon Samson, like he came upon David, like he came upon Elijah when he ran faster than the king's chariots, like he came upon David's mighty men when they stood in the field and fought thousands of Philistines with one sword and killed them all. This is not just so we can read these great stories. He came upon them. He came upon Samson to rip that lion's mouth. But now he's living in you. Gosh, if the power of God looks like that coming upon an Old Testament, Old Covenant person, what does the power of God look like in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you will let him out? And when you are worshiping God, that is one avenue that you can say, God, the Holy Spirit, I love you, I exalt you, I praise you, I lift you up. It's not about me, it's not about my thing, it's about you, Lord, it's about the blood of Jesus. I exalt you. My Lord, what could happen in your personal space? What could you let God, the Holy Spirit, do? That same Spirit that's living inside of you. Right now, he's just quiet. But that's why I'm here, to help aliven and waken you. He doesn't need to be woken up. You need to be woken up to him and the capability of what he wants to do in you every time you walk in this place, every time we hit note one. He is wanting you to draw a circle around yourself. He is wanting you to lift him up so he can pour strength into you. When that happens, things in your family, things in your life get corrected. Things that are broken get unbroken. Things that are where you are full of fear, you become fearless. When you are full of weakness, you become strong, because you're letting that same Spirit that raised Jesus up out of hell come up out of you and affect your body and affect your mind and affect your soul, because you're giving him his rightful place. When we give Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit his rightful place in our lives, that means praying in tongues. That's a gift. That is an endowment that he gave to you that none other has. That is a hotline to heaven for God to pour strength into you. Amen. Amen. And you need to use it. The reason that you all, or we sometimes, I can include myself too, because I can get cold and I can get lethargic. But the reason that we don't respond that way to the Holy Spirit in our services is because we don't do it all week. We don't practice this all week at home. I don't want a show of hands. How many of you take time every day just to worship God? You don't have to put a CD in. You don't have to hear me. We don't have to roll up the band. I'm talking about just go throughout your house and say, Father, I exalt you. I magnify you. I worship you. Now, there's a 53 trillion schmillion verses in Psalms about singing unto God, about shouting unto God. This is why we do that. And I don't have the time to go to it, neither is that my point. But let's talk about singing, and let's talk about all the things I've heard about singing during the singing time. Men, more than women, will say, I don't sing. Well, you do shout at football games, so you can shout, right? And so sometimes we'll say, I don't sing. I sing in the shower. Well, pretend you're in the shower this morning and start singing. And here's what I did early on when I started praying in the Holy Ghost and we came in here for corporate prayer. I didn't always sit by my husband during that time because he was so loud. That's just him. There's nothing wrong with loud. God uses loud and vibrant, but he was so loud and speaking in Chinese that I couldn't hear myself think. So I'm telling you what I did. I went on the other side of the church. I got in my own little chair, and I started praying in the Holy Ghost, and I started building myself up. Listen, man. Listen, woman. Listen, young person. If you don't like the way you sound, move two chairs over, go in the back during the praise and worship, and draw a line around yourself and sing and worship God. This is your time. This is not about your husband. This is not about your wife. This is not about your friends. This is not about your family listening to you sing. If you don't want them to hear you sing, go somewhere and get away from them. And go stand to someone next to someone that's noisy who you can't, they won't hear you because they're too noisy. Listen, I have to do that. Whatever it takes for you to enter in and magnify and exalt God, get up out of your chair, go find a piece of rug and say, Jesus, this is my time. This is my time between you and me. I know we're doing it corporately, but we think and care too much about what people think. We're too self-conscious. The reason we're too self-conscious is because we're not enough God-conscious. And God-consciousness only comes from a few things. It comes from being obedient to the Word of God and doing it no matter what you think or what anybody else thinks. It comes from spending time with God and going, God, this is what you say about me. God, thank you. Listen, your friend and your spouse and your family member did not die for you. They did not shed their blood for you, and they are not getting you to heaven. So you just need to push your little family member in your mind aside and go, Jesus, this is between you and me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I'm singing. I'm shouting. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm going to praise you whether I have a good singing voice or not. Because the Bible just said sing. He didn't say sing only if you have a good voice. Now, he did tell us to play skillfully. But he never said, if he did, I'm missing that verse. He never said that we have to sing skillfully. He said, make a joyful noise. Amen. And so that's something that every one of you need to engage in. When you engage in that, you're going to see the power of God. When you think about the song, the words that you're singing, because we can do one of two things. We can sing the Word of God or we can preach the Word of God. What's the difference? I'm singing the Word of God. Pastor's preaching the Word of God. As long as the Word of God is being exalted, the Holy Spirit is happy. And as long as we're opening up our heart and say, Jesus, do whatever you want to do in me today. I'm going to draw a circle around myself, and this is all about you. The Holy Spirit wants to clothe you with his power. You should never leave a Sunday morning service or any kind of service the same that you came in. If you feel weak, if you feel down, if you feel afraid, you are not putting your mind on Jesus. You do not have your mind on God throughout the week. At least take advantage of Sunday morning and say, God, this is between you and me. This is between you and me. So, Psalm 16:11. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Whenever we exalt Jesus, the Holy Spirit loves that. He comes in and he starts filling you with joy if you'll yield to him. Now, what does that look like? Now, here, let's get to things where people get a little bit uncomfortable, okay? And we're gonna come right out and talk about them. Sister so-and-so that's over here going, wah! During the worship service. She starts screaming. And then Sister so-and-so who comes up here and starts twirling up front. And then Sister so-and-so. And most of the times it is the sisters. I'm just saying. Men, y'all need to ramp it up. Sister so-and-so coming up here and falling on her knees and falling before God and crying. Well, I'm uncomfortable with that. I just don't think that's necessary. I don't understand why Sister so-and-so has to scream at this point in the song. The song was going good until she messed it up. Well, that's why she doesn't have a mic. But she's making a joyful noise and she's getting free. Right? So let's talk about, throw up Revelations 4, 8 through 11. Let's just read that for a minute. Let's talk about heaven, because you're in for a rude awakening if you have never gotten full of the Holy Ghost and danced and run and sung and gotten full of joy and screamed and shouted. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. Talking about the four creatures around God's throne. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor, and are we a living creature? Whenever the living creatures give glory, and he's no respecter of persons or creatures, right? We might not have eyes revolving around our body, but we are a living creature. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Now, let me tell you something. If the four creatures are constantly and never rest day and night and saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and whenever they're giving glory, that is a part of them giving glory when they're saying, holy, holy. If they don't ever rest day and night saying, holy, 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 giving glory, giving honor, giving thanks, and those 24 elders fall down and throw their crowns at the feet of Jesus, that is a lot of falling down that's going up on in heaven, right? My point is that when someone falls down before the Lord, we shouldn't be amazed, because that person is giving glory to the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to pour strength into them. So, we all should be doing a lot more falling down than we are. Amen. We all should be doing a lot of kneeling, a lot of bowing before our Maker. Throw that scripture up on the screen, Psalm 95 something or another. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, 95:1-6. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Oh, come, everybody say sing.
Sing.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Everybody go, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can do that. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully. Let's do it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
All right, I love my espresso service. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Oh, come, early service. Let us worship and bow down. I expect to see some bowing down. I'm not going to push you to do that. I'm just encouraging you. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let's talk about dancing. Someone gets up, let's talk about me. Since I'm up in the public view, let's talk about me, because I can't talk about you. I won't talk about you. I appreciate that too. I was leading worship years ago in the old building. I call it the old and first building. I was leading worship. I was on a guitar at that time. And I got to thinking about how good God is and about his blood and what he's done for me. When I started worshiping him in that way and just opening up my heart and thinking about him, fire started going down through my legs into my feet, and it started burning. So I started doing this on the stage. You know, if you ever see me do that, sometimes it's fire, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I got to get on the other foot while I'm playing the guitar. But in this specific instant, the fire of God was going down my legs. I wouldn't do anything different from y'all. I was just worshiping God. I was just good being good old little praise and worship leader. The fire of God came in my legs, started hitting me in the feet, and I started doing this to try to make it go away because it was burning my feet. I knew what the Lord was asking me to do. He was asking me to step out and dance in the spirit. I'm like, oh Lord, no, I got a guitar on, I'm hooked up, all these people are watching me, and you know that half that side over there ain't even closed their eyes once during this worship service. They're just staring, doing squat, nothing. I don't want people to look at me. Why is that? Is this about me? Is this about me and how I look to you? It used to be, because I don't want to look weird, you know? I don't want to look weird. I like having friends. But you know, now I want to be the friend of God more than I want to be anything else. I want to have his full approval more than anything else. And so I did not dance. I let that fire burn in my feet. The next Sunday, no, it was the next night, because we were having some kind of services. There's somebody here. The next night, same fire hits my leg, goes down in my feet. Now they're really hot. Now they're really on fire. And the Lord said, dance. Actually, it was the next Sunday morning. I don't know when it was, but there was a lot of people out there. He said, dance. I'd never danced in the spirit in my life. He said, dance. I said, oh my God. And he said to me, if you do not obey me and dance, I will never come on you like this again. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Well, I did obey him, because that was kind of a stern voice. That wasn't just like dance. It was like, if you don't, that's him talking to me. I'm a leader. This is a spirit-filled church. I lead by example. And if the Spirit of God comes on me, sometimes, you know, I just step out in faith, because I do start, but I've never probably felt him except a few other times after that. That's just the way it works in me. Why do I have to be the dancer? Why can't I be the kneeler? Why can't I fall on my face nicely before God and just worship God and I'm not bothering anybody? But no, I've got to be up on stage when the fire of God hits my feet, with a guitar wrapped up in a cord, and he says dance, because he's trying to lead you guys into power and victory. Yep. Smith Wigglesworth says that dancing breaks poverty. Listen, I've never verified that, you know, in the Bible, but he says he danced before the Lord every morning. I'll tell you, we're a lot richer now than we were back then, so maybe it does, but it does break timidity and fear and self-consciousness off you. And the boldness of God now is allowed to rise up inside of you. So that morning, I danced. I started dancing until the fire left my feet. I danced and I danced. I couldn't do that in the flesh in front of you right now. But I could do it up there. I danced from one side of the stage, well, I was probably about right there, all the way to the baby grand piano. Never, with my guitar, with a cord. I guess the rest of the band members got out of the way. I don't know what happened to them. They probably did step back. I don't know. But I just danced and twirled. I danced and twirled. I never felt any lack of energy. I just kind of twirled through the air, and then I stopped at the piano. And then it was over. And I'm like, whoa, that felt good. You know, so the Lord wrought a great victory in my life that day. And now when the fire hits my feet and I'm up there thinking about how good God is, I'm just going to dance. I may unplug first. I may put the guitar down. I don't know, but nothing got hurt. Nothing. I didn't get hurt. And God broke the spirit of timidity off of me and what people said. And the very next day, or that's the next Sunday, a person in this church walked up to me, the very same people I was talking about, and said, "We can't wait to see what God's going to do on you today. That was a great show." You know, and that really bugged me. That really bugged me. I said, "I ain't never dancing again. You guys are a bunch of whatever. You're supposed to be praying. You're supposed to be worshiping God." The Lord said, "Don't worry about that." He says, "You don't answer to them. They don't answer to you. Do you want victory in your life? You want power in your life? Get up there. If I tell you to dance, dance. If you feel the fire of God coming through your body, do something with it." That's what's happening to people who are really doing something in the church and running. Sometimes they just get hit with the glory of God and how good God is, and their body, all flesh responds differently. Their body just responds in a different way, and sometimes it's because of their personality. It comes out in that way. When I held children's camp for 10 years, I told the kids that God is going to fall on you. And I sang, and I sang, and I sang, because that's my gift, or that was then. I sang until the power of God fell. Amen. Until he fell. I sang, I entered in, I admonished them, but I entered in myself. And there may be times that, hey, if you guys don't enter in, my band's going to enter in, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to get our victories, because this is our time too. Yeah. Right? And so if you see us crying and walling and kneeling and dancing on the stage, that's because God's setting us free, so you can jump in and God will set you free too. So that's about letting him have his rightful place. But when I was at camp, kids don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. Kids are kids. And so I would sing until the glory of God fell. I would just sing and sing, and everybody would just be sitting there just like you are. They just kind of be singing a little bit. Some be in or in, some not. But I just keep singing. I just keep pushing. I just keep singing because I was the leader. I was the leader. So if I wanted to sing for 4 hours, I could sing for 4 hours. That's just the way it was. So I'm singing up on the stage with my guitar. The band's playing behind me. The glory of God just starts rolling in. No, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in 5 minutes. It didn't happen in 10 minutes, about 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Just the glory of God started rolling in. People really started entering in. Little boy sitting on the back row where Mr. John Worrell is. Sitting on the back row, right on the end, on the pew, concrete floor, 8 years old. He's a little boy like any other little boy. Loves to run and play, right? He's a boy. All of a sudden, he wasn't really necessarily singing, but he was worshiping. All of a sudden, he goes, pew, falls out on the floor from the pew. Little kids don't just fall over on the floor on their own. They don't do that. And when he hit the floor, this was during worship, I was still singing. When he hit the floor, he started laughing uncontrollable. And he probably laughed for an hour. Another segment during worship camp, I sang and I sang and I sang until the glory fell. And I can do that here because this is my church. Pastor's not here, and I'm the leader today. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. We want signs and wonders in this church. Amen. We want your lives changed. We want the fullness of the Spirit flowing in our services. Amen. Enough of singing two songs and listening to pastor preach and go home. Listen, if God starts moving, let him just move. If we don't get to the preaching of the word, go home and read your Bible and preach to yourself. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, my husband's fed up with preaching. No, in his heart, he loves you. But he's fed up with doing everything status quo. Come in, sing 2 songs, preach, go home. Come in, sing 5 songs, preach, go home. He wants and contends for the Spirit of God to move in this place. But you're going to have to go with us. But we're going to go there. We're believing for signs and wonders. We're believing for revival. But it starts in us. And it starts in us as a corporate whole. There is a power that's available. And there's a power ready now, today, for you, this very second, for the Spirit-filled life. But there's also a purity that is available for the Spirit-filled life. You have got to come to God during the, you know why we don't want to worship God sometimes is because he starts talking to us. He starts talking to us like, oh, I got to deal with that. Well, then just deal with it. Ask God to forgive you. If you need, if you got an broken relationship, go to that person and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And just get it done. Get it over with. If you're living in sin, just stop. God empowers you. His grace empowers you to live free from sin. So the purity always precedes the power. That's why Pastor talks about repentance. That's why Pastor talks about, even in the little things, I got to obey God. I got to obey God. Things that you wouldn't think were so wrong for me to do, if I'm doing too much of them, God says, stop doing them. If I don't do them, his power doesn't show up in my life until I make that adjustment. I'm not talking about running off with men or stealing or killing. I'm talking about the little things in my life from day to day. If I'm doing too much of something and it's stealing from his time, it steals from my power. Praying, worshiping God, singing 2 hours, all of a sudden, nobody's doing anything but singing and clapping and worshiping God. This little girl, she's 12 years old. She lights out and runs across the sanctuary over and over and over and screaming to the top of her voice, screaming to the top of her voice, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, oh my God, I'm healed. I didn't know what was, I just kept singing because sometimes I don't know what to do. I just let God keep working. Well, sometimes you just let him keep go, you know, you don't stop, you just let it go and you just watch it. Then afterwards I went back and I found out what happened. She had severe asthma since she was born. All week long, and this was Thursday night, all week long, no, it's Wednesday night, for the first 2 days, she could not play the game. She loves the sports. She could not play the sports. She loves to run. She loves to do all that and hasn't been able to play sports, and she tried to play the sports, and she'd get out of breath and just struggle, struggle, struggle. Wednesday night, God healed her in that service while we were singing. While we were singing. Totally healed her of asthma. She went and played hard the next day. Ran and probably, I think she was one of the part of one of the teams that won the first place sports awards. Heart conditions being healed. People being healed. I have had major healings in my 10 years of camp, more than I've ever seen here. It is because I took the time, and camp is a little different atmosphere. You know, it's a time when we all get before God and we don't have anything else to do but worship God and love him and grow in him. But it's a time that great healings occurred and great deliverances were wrought. Demons coming out of kids. I went into an audience and started into the sanctuary and started to pray before the service. I went into a little chapel because it was close to my dorm. I was so tired. The Lord said, get out of the chapel. Go to the other side of the property and pray where you're having the meeting. I said, oh, Lord, I'm so tired. Why can't we just pray as a little group here? I'm praying for the service. He said, get out of the chapel and go pray in the gymnasium. I said, guys, I stopped the prayer meeting. Let's go to the gymnasium. We went to the gymnasium. We started walking that floor in the gymnasium, and the power of God hit us all in the prayer group that morning. I started standing in certain places, and I came over here, and I stood in this place right here. I was, the Spirit of God was all over me, praying in tongues that night. I sang 2 songs. The second song, 2 little girls came up here, and they were just in the flesh dancing and praising God. Same place I stood and prayed. When, somewhere in the middle of that second song, the fire of God hit those little girls' feet, and they started jumping like bouncing bunnies. They jumped and they jumped and they screamed because there was fire in their feet. And they couldn't get rid of it. And they were screaming, ah, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Wah, wah. And they were screaming, but they were happy. It wasn't like a bad thing. They were happy. And finally, they just started lighting out. And in the service, the whole service went pandemonium And that spurred everybody else to enter in. So I'm saying that to say this. We have so much that's available to us during that 15 minutes, during that 10 minutes, during that 20 minutes, that if God wants to do something in you and he wants to heal you and he wants to set you free during that time, let him set you free. Amen. The Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humbled in my own sight. When the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that's on the inside of you, when you let him and you yield yourself to him, no matter how it comes out of your flesh, whether you kneel, whether you laugh, whether you, your body is just going to respond different. Different doesn't matter. But in the Azusa Street revivals, all kinds of wonders and signs were being done upon the people. Weird things that you would make you wonder. That's why it's called a wonder. Okay? But if you're going to sit back there, and I've been here in this place. If you're going to sit back and just try to evaluate everything, nothing's ever going to change in your life. You got to open up. From the minute we hit the first note, Jesus, you are Lord. Maybe you don't know the song. Maybe the song doesn't come up on the screen. Maybe it's got too many words. Maybe it doesn't have enough words. Well, maybe you can make up your own words and say, Jesus, I love you. I adore you. I praise you. I tell the band a lot. If I go to a song that you don't know, if you can't follow my fingers, then get your hands off your musical instrument and put them in the air. That would be a noble concept. Put them in the air and praise God yourself. Hallelujah. I want you to play with me. I want you to be a part. But sometimes the Holy Ghost tells me to go a different place. If you're not good enough to go there with me, talent-wise, it's okay. I'm not going to condemn you. No one's writing you up after the service. Get your hands in the air and just start worshiping God and fall on your face. And hallelujah, he loves you. All right? Amen. So are you ready? Let me just say this. David said this about Michael. Michael said, you look so great, didn't you, among all the maidens. You just, you know, all this, all that. He was in his undergarments, and she was ticked. She was ticked. She was offended. She was very self-conscious. That's my husband. You made a fool of yourself. Look now what I look like. That's my husband. But she wasn't thinking about her husband and how he made a fool of herself. She was thinking about herself. Now, what am I going to look like to the people, the king's wife? And David looked at her and said, I'll even do more than this. I'll even become more undignified than this. I will humble myself before the Lord. I'm not asking you to do undignified things in our services just to be undignified. But I am telling you this, that when you yield your heart to the Spirit of God and say, do whatever you want to me in this service, you are going to be asked to do some things that you are uncomfortable with, that you've never done before. And your freedom is wrapped up in those obedient choices. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to worship? So here's what we're going to do. Don't stand up yet. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship until I'm done. That could be 10 o'clock. That could be 10:05. That could be 10:10. When you're ready to leave, go ahead and leave, but you may not leave at least for 15 minutes. Okay, and so then go ahead and put Psalm 95 up on the screen for me. Psalm 96, 7 through 8, ascribe to the Lord, Psalm 96, 7 through 8, ascribe to the Lord, O you families of the Word of Life congregation, ascribe to the Lord, Psalm 96, 7 through 8, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come on into his courts. So, having said that, that's worship too. Amen. So at any time during the praise and worship that you want to bring your offering and come on and enter his courts with praise, there are the buckets. Amen? Amen. All right, come on. We ready? We're ready to spend our time with Jesus because it's going to be good. Amen? Let him just work in your heart, in your spirit, and we're going to have fun.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message. We hope it blesses you. If you would like more info on Word of Life, sermons, and free downloads, please go to www.wordoflifeapopka.com. Thank you and have a blessed day.